All right, we're back in Galatians tonight. If we used candy to get people in church, we'd keep Jude here every service, wouldn't we? Amen. Galatians chapter 2, and we're looking here at some of these doctrines that are at stake, and it's kind of the way it's laid out, it kind of makes us able to really kind of just go doctrine by doctrine here. This morning we looked at, dealt with unity within the church, within the body of Christ there, and the danger that sin in the life, in any of our lives, has at attacking unity and causing division, things like that. And so, the thing about sin is sin divides. It divides. It can divide the church, and it also divides us from God. And it doesn't cause us, you know, if we're saved, it doesn't necessarily cause us to lose our salvation, but it can hinder our fellowship with the Lord and His power in our life. And so sin causes a lot of division, so we have to be careful of that. But if you look there in verse 14, we'll read through this again, kind of get us up to speed, and then we'll give you the thought tonight. So Galatians 2, verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, therefore Christ, the minister, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight. And Lord, I thank you for your word, and thank you for your people and their faithfulness, and I thank you for letting us be here tonight, and I thank you for the good services you gave us this morning. And Father, I pray that you would bless us now and help us, Lord, as we preach the word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you. I pray that you would teach and edify us. Pray that you'd encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. Lord, I pray that your word would just do that eternal heart, or that eternal work in our heart that only you can do and your word can accomplish. And Lord, I pray that we would be greatly blessed from being in your house. You change our hearts, change our lives, and help us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So this morning we looked there in verse 14. We at this rebuke here. Paul, of course, said that he said what he said to Peter before them all. That it was a public rebuke, and that was a needful thing that he was dealt with publicly. And I actually, this afternoon, along those lines, I had thought about a verse over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, because this isn't the only place where the Bible talks about public rebuke and dealing with sin publicly. I mean, it's actually dealt with many times, but I thought about a verse. I was reading through 1 Timothy this afternoon and read 1 Timothy 5, verse 20. It says, "Them that sin, rebuke before all." Rebuke before all. In other words, do it publicly. And that's the same Paul writing, you know, Timothy is what wrote Galatians, you know. And he said rebuke before all, but why rebuke for all? Well, the last phrase of that verse says that others also may fear. And that's what we talked about this morning. That's why Paul rebuked Peter before them all, that others may fear. that others may realize what's going on and may see it. And so it was a public rebuke, and then it was a proper rebuke in that Paul built up the rebuke with doctrine to defend these doctrines here. And so, of course, we looked at that doctrine of unity there and the division that could be caused along racial lines with the Jews and the Gentiles and all that. But then there are some other doctrines here, and I want to look at one specifically tonight that we see in verse number 15 and 16. Look there. He said, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That word justified is used there. And from what I understand, this is the first time in the Bible that word justified is used, or one of the first times. And that's a very important word, that thing, justified. The most important question ever asked of man, ever asked by a man, was asked by Job in Job chapter 9. Look back in Job chapter 9. And when I said the first time that word justified is used, I meant in Paul's writings, is what I meant to say. Because it's actually used here in Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, verse number 2. This is the most important question that man or a man could ever ask. Job chapter 9, verse 2 says, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God?" How should man be just with God? Job 9:2. And I don't think you would be taking away from the scripture by putting a or in there. How should a man be just with God? Because that's the most important question any of us or any man or woman could ever ask in this life. How can I be just with God? Because that's our problem. That's the problem when we're lost, is that we are not justified with God. Our sin has separated from God. People talk about getting their rights and getting what, you know, they are owed, and wanting what is fair, wanting what is just, wanting justice. That's what justification deals with. Things that are just and things that are would deal with justice. And people talk about wanting justice. If we got justice, if we got what was just and what was right and what we deserved from God, we'd get hell and we'd get damnation. And so really, we don't want what's just. We want to be justified. Okay? We want to be justified. And so, look, this doctrine here, though, this doctrine of justification is at stake here in Peter's dissimulation with the Jews. Because what they're doing here, he's separate from the Jews, and what those Jews are trying to do is put those Gentiles back under that Jewish law and mingling law with grace. Well, we know that the law makes us sinners. That's what the law does. Law exposes our sin. And for those Gentiles to put themselves back under that law, that would, in a sense, make them sinners again, so to speak. And so, and he goes on to talk about making the grace of God of none effect and things like that. Because that's what happens whenever we are under the law. You know, most people, if you talk to them about salvation, you're witnessing to somebody and you ask them, you know, where are you at with God? Where are you at? Where are you? Do you know that you're saved? Or do you know if you died today that you would 100% sure you know that you'd get to heaven? Things like that. And most people around here, they'll say, "Oh, yeah, I think I would. I'm pretty sure I would," or "Yes, I would," or whatever. And if you go to digging a little deeper, okay, well, what? That's great. What are you trusting in for that? Most of the time, unless someone's truly saved, Most of the time, they'll go into all this stuff about how they were raised in church and how they've been in church most of their life. Or their pawpaw was a preacher, dad was a preacher. They were raised right, and you know, they've done good, and they've never really had any addictions. They've never been, you know, they've maybe drank some through their life. But I've never really been addicted. I've never been on any drugs, and I've never smoked. I mean, they're just going this whole thing. And it could be anything, but ultimately what it comes down to, they'll go into this long list of their works. They'll go into their works. And they may not be trying to keep the Jewish law, but they're looking to their works. They're looking to the works of some moral law that they've got built in their mind. And that's what they'll go into. They'll talk about that and all these things. And so they're looking to be justified by the works of the law. But we're not justified by the works of the law. We know that. Amen? However, by Peter separating himself from the Gentiles, it was a danger of tearing down this doctrine of justification. Just like this thing with unity and other things. Things would look a lot different in the church had Paul not dealt with these things and allowed this stuff to go on. Because they would have continued on being taught, believing that they could be justified by faith plus keeping the law. And we are not justified by keeping the law. You know, we talk about repentance. Repentance, in a lot of ways, we talk about turning from sin, repenting of a sin, turning to Christ. Really, repentance, in a lot of ways, isn't so much turning from sin as much as it is just ceasing from works. Ceasing from works. Quit, stop, you know, get in the point where you stop relying on your works, your good and your bad, I wasn't thinking about that, any of that the night I got saved. The night I truly got saved, I wasn't weighing out my good and thinking about, you know, the good and the bad and how moral, immoral I was. All I knew that night was that I was a wicked sinner and I needed a Savior. And I put all of my hope and faith and trust in Jesus. I rested in the person of Christ to be that Savior, you know, to get me to heaven. That was it. After that, the Holy Spirit came in and He started changing my works. He started doing the works. And so it comes, whenever we get saved, though, we get justified. Now, again, that most important question ever asked is Job 9:2. How shall a man be just with God? God's answer to that is in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 38, where God said, the just shall live by faith. Job says, how can a man be just with God? God said, the just shall live by faith. That's how you get justified, is by faith. This doctrine of justification is so important that it's dealt with in three New Testament books. Romans 1:17. Turn over there to Romans. And I would keep your finger in Romans, because we're going to turn and look at several verses in Romans tonight. But look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So all through Romans, Paul deals with, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, deals with justification by faith. Again, in Galatians, right here where we're preaching, Galatians, he's dealing with justification by faith. If you'll flip over one chapter to chapter 3, again, hold your finger, put you something in Romans, because we'll turn back there. But one chapter over in Galatians 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Romans deals with justification. Galatians deals with justification. I just read that verse over in Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. So over and over and over, that this doctrine is dealt with. Justification. It is a very important doctrine. And we ought to be very thankful that we're justified. Now you say, well, what exactly is justification? That's a big word, you know, and what is justification? Here's a good definition for justification. Justification is the act of God whereby He declares the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm gonna read that one more time. Justification is the act of God whereby He declares the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. He doesn't declare the sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. He declares the believing sinner righteous in Jesus Christ. And He doesn't make the sinner righteous. He declares him righteous. Declares him righteous in Christ. And so every word of that definition is important. And actually, when I go through it piece by piece and look at the men, break down justification tonight. This is a very important doctrine. If we get messed up on this, we'll get messed up in a lot of places. And by the way, the fact that a lot of churches and denominations and people are messed up on this is why they're messed up in their doctrine in so many ways. This is a big thing. Doctrine is a big deal. So justification, first of all, it is an act of God. Justification is the act of God. It is an act of God. It's an act, and I say that because it's not a process. It is the act of God, not a process. You've got your finger in Romans. Flip back over to Romans 1. You're there, hopefully. Romans 1, verse number 5. Says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. They have received grace, received apostleship for obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Obedience to the gospel. In other words, as soon as you obey, as soon as you put your faith in Christ, He justifies you. That's right. He declares you righteous. It works, however. Works would be a gradual process. If we could get justified by our works, we would gradually, as we got better, and as our works got a little better and a little better, we would gradually get a little more justified and a little more justified. But that's not the way it works. It is an act where God gives us justification, declares us just. And so because of that, no Christian is more justified than any other Christian. We are all declared righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus the moment we get salvation. Now, some of us may be more mature than others, and some may be living closer to the Lord than others. But every saved person, if they're saved by His grace, is just as justified as anybody else that's ever gotten saved. Amen? Because it is an act of God, not a process. So it's an act, not a process, but it's also an act of God. That is, it's not our character or our works that gets it done. We can never do enough. A man can never do enough. Again, you get to talk to people about the Lord, and they go into these works. They're good and they're bad, and you know, just you know, kind of their life. And I don't know if it's just the fact. Well, I guess everybody's different. Some people have just rejected the gospel, and some people have never had it clearly explained to them. But the majority of people are looking to their works, their character, their works. I'm a pretty good person. That good old boy religion. But it's an act of God that does it. If any of our works could justify us in the eyes of God, then it wouldn't be God doing it. It'd be us doing it. That's what Paul said right there in the same chapter. If that was the case, then Jesus would have died in vain. And so, salvation's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so if we could work our way to justification, we'd be the ones doing it. We'd be the ones doing it. And so that's why God empties man of all of his pride before He saves him, before He's able to save him. That's right, before He's empty of pride and realize He cannot do this on His own. You're in Romans. Turn back over there again to Romans 8. we're going back to Romans so much because it's dealt with so much in Romans. Dealt with in Galatians, but then also Romans. And we want to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Amen? What he's dealing with, what Galatians deal with, also dealt with the same things in Romans. Look in Romans 8. Look at verse number 33. Romans 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God does it. We don't do it. We can't do it. Turn a few pages back to Romans 3. It's God that justifieth. But then in Romans 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why the law was given, to expose our sin. Law was given to condemn us, not save us. And that's right, the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, to expose our great need. And so for a man to try to live and be feel that he's justified and can make it to heaven, so to speak, on his works, it'll never work. It'll never work. 2 Corinthians 5. Look in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We can be made the righteousness of God. That is justified in the eyes of God in Christ. And that's the only way. In Christ alone. Not because of our works, but because of Christ. That word justified. One man said it's you break down the word, it's justified. Justified, never sinned. And that's the way God looks at us in Christ. Whenever we are in Christ, God looks at us as if we had never sinned. He looks at us through the blood of Christ. Amen? So it's an act. It's an act of God. And it's an act where God declares the sinner righteous. Not make him righteous. So now we know that real salvation brings about a changed life. It causes someone to live more righteously. We know that. That's what James 2 is all about. Faith without works is dead. Being loved. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show you my faith by my works. So we know that real salvation leads to a changed life and leads to us striving for righteousness. However, God doesn't necessarily make us righteous. He declares us righteous. Again, before of Christ. So before a sinner trusts Christ for salvation, before you put all your trust in the person of Jesus Christ for salvation, you stood guilty before God. Condemned before God. Yet the moment a sinner trusts Christ, the moment you put all your faith and trust and rested in the person of Christ, you're declared not guilty before God. Just like that. You go from being guilty, condemned before God, to not guilty. And by the way, you can never be called guilty again. Never again can a justified person be guilty in the eyes of God again when they're in Christ. See, because it's more than forgiveness. We receive forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins. That's what he talked about. It was Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So yeah, we receive forgiveness of sins and thank the Lord for it. But God went a step beyond that. He went a step further than that. He didn't just forgive us. He justified us. You say, well, what's the difference? Now Christ, God says, I forgive you. But the difference is, if you get forgiven, he can say, I forgive you, and then you can go out and become and sin again and become a sinner again. Isn't that right? Brother Ernest steals something from me. That makes him a thief. Right? And he comes to me and says, I'm sorry. I really am sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. And I can say, I accept your apology. I forgive you. I forgive you. So I forgive him of that stealing. Well, after that, he can steal from me again. You know what he's going to have to do again? He's going to have to apologize again, and he's going to have to get forgiveness again. Right? So he can become guilty again when you get forgiven. Thank the Lord we've been forgiven, but we can go out and we can become guilty again once we get forgiveness. However, God took it a step further, and he didn't just forgive us, he justified us. He went a step further. And so now he looks at Christ, takes our sin, and looks at Christ, puts our sin on him. He became sin for us, and imputes our sin to him, and imputes his righteousness to us. And so now he looks at Christ, puts our sin there, looks at us, and says, I find no fault in him. That is justification. Amen? And so we're not getting what we deserve. We are getting what Jesus deserves. Amen? Praise God. If we got what was just for us, we'd get hell. But Jesus doesn't deserve hell. There was no fault in him. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He deserves, you know, all that heaven has to offer. And so God gave him what we deserved and gives us what he deserves. Amen? That is justification. Just if I'd never sinned. But have you sinned? Absolutely. Do you still sin? Yes. But did Jesus sin? No. I find no fault in him, Pilate said. But now, through Christ, God the Father looks at us and says, I find no fault in him to us because of Jesus. So it's more than forgiveness. By the way, it's also more than a pardon. More than a pardon. Thank God he, in a sense, has pardoned our sins. But you know, whenever a criminal or, you know, somebody gets a pardon, they still have a record. That record's still there. They're just not paying for it. They've been pardoned. However, God has wiped our slate clean where there is no record. We're not just not paying for our sins. As far as God's concerned, our sins don't exist. And they never existed. And they never will exist. Amen. Praise God. Now, so, you know, we'll never lose our salvation. We can grieve the Spirit of God, but we'll never become unjust in the eyes of God once we're in Christ. That is justification. Turn over to Romans 4. You're there in Romans. Look in Romans 4. I wanted to see a verse over here. Romans 4, verse number 8. Talking about that pardon. You know, going beyond a pardon. Look in Romans 4, verse 8. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. That's a pardon right there. We've got sin, but God's not imputing sin. Amen? And so we are justified. So God declares the sinner righteous. It's an act of God where he declares the sinner righteous, but he justifies sinners. He declares the believing sinner righteous. So sinners are the ones that get justified, not good people. Good people don't get justified. Righteous people, they don't need justification righteous in their mind. That's right. They're not sick, so they don't need a physician. So God justifies sinners, not good people. Romans 4, 5, him that justifieth the ungodly, it says. He justifies the ungodly. In other words, if a wicked sinner will come to Christ, come before Christ, I'm talking about in their heart, they will just come to Christ and call on him as a wicked sinner and call on to him for salvation, knowing they're a sinner, knowing they need a Savior, and put all their faith in them, they will be justified. Why? Because they're a sinner. And sinners are the ones that need justification. Sinners, by and large, in our day, are not justified. Most of them, most all of them, they are not justified today. They're living their life lost and on the road to hell tonight because they will not admit they are sinners. In their eyes, they are righteous. In their eyes, their works are enough. In their eyes, and that's in that the word we use, we talk about justifying things. You know, I really knew this in my heart, but I justified it by thinking this, you know. That's where people are spiritually. Deep down the recesses of their soul, they probably know they're missing something. They know they're missing something, but they justify themselves. They deceive themselves. 1 John 5, I believe. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And that's what we do when we try to justify ourselves. And so you talk to them and, well, you know, I go to church, raised right, try to do right, work hard to provide for my family and all these things. And they just won't admit they're a sinner. Now, if you ask them, they would say, well, yeah, I told a lie. Well, yeah, I've done this, I've done that. But deep down in their heart, they might admit it with their mouth, but deep down in their heart, they've not come to the place yet where they're owning their sin and their sinful nature and who they are and getting honest with God, honest with themselves. And that's why they're not saved. That's why they'll be religious. That's why they'll, you know, try to be a pretty good person all their life and do, for the most part, good things, because those works and those good things they're doing, they're trying to do that to earn their way to heaven. But they'll never be saved, because only sinners get saved. Only sinners get justified in the eyes of God. Job asked the most important question ever asked. How shall a man be just with God? Unless you're a sinner, you'll never be just with God. That's right, a lost sinner. Now turn over to Matthew 9. I want to look at one more place. One more place and I'm done tonight. Matthew chapter 9. Talk about only sinners are justified. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 9. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. As religious as they were, and as probably respected in the community in the eyes of most people as they were, most all them Pharisees went to hell. Most every one of them did. You want to know why? Because they were too righteous. That's right. They were too righteous. In their own minds, in their own eyes, they were too righteous. And they didn't need this Jesus. And the same thing we see today. Same thing we see today. Preachers and false prophets are so respected in the community. And the majority of people, they don't know the difference in a Baptist preacher and a Methodist preacher. And the Catholic Pope. They don't know the difference in any of them. As far as they're concerned, they're all religion. It's all the same. They're all going the same place. As far as they're concerned, there's no difference in any of them. And it's just like the Pharisees. And there's so much self-righteousness. And anyone that is self-righteous and views themselves as righteous and is going on their works, they'll never get in. He only saves sinners. Only a sinner can be justified. And so the truth to this doctrine, what's so important about this doctrine, is that any sinner that will receive Jesus in faith will be justified. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Not works, none of that. Receive Jesus. Somebody may say, well, man, I've struggled and I've battled with this sin. I've battled with this addiction all my life. There's no way I could ever get saved, because there's no way I could ever quit this sin. What that person needs to do is get saved and let the Spirit of God deal with that sin. Put that thing down and quit worrying about whether or not they can stop it. See, that's what they're hanging on to, their works and what they can do. If I can quit this sin, I can be saved. You and me don't have the power to quit sin. We are slaves to sin.
Gotta be willing to,
definitely. But if someone is hanging on to whether or not I can quit this sin to be saved, it'll never happen. There were sins that I struggled with and battled with all my life before I got saved. But the night I got saved, I quit trying to quit them. And I just rested in Christ. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit came in, and I didn't have the thirst for that stuff that I used to have. I didn't have the desire for that stuff that I used to have. Do I still sin? Well, sure. But I don't have the desire to live in sin like I once did. When the Holy Spirit comes in and justifies you and Christ is living in you, then you have the desire to please God. That is justification. Amen. And that doctrine is under great attack whenever Peter does what he does here. Thank the Lord Paul stepped in, straightened all that out. Thank the Lord God used Paul. Things would look mighty different today. And they look different in a lot of different religions and denominations because they've got that thing wrong. They've got justification wrong. It's faith plus works to be justified. When the Bible way is just faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with your word. Pray, Lord, that you would hide it deep in our hearts so we might not sin against you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grab hold of the doctrines, Lord, of the word of God. Lord, you'd hide them deep in our hearts. And Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be able to be better servants for you, Lord, for what we've seen here tonight. Lord, bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's close with a hymn tonight. Brother Ernest, what number you got there?